Blog Talk Radio.
This is Brett, the Birdman Burdick. I'm here with the first ever Birdman podcast of 2019. Happy New Year, happy new tears. I'm just kidding. We are here emanating from the hallowed grounds, or the bowels, I should say, of Rock Country, Milwaukee, here on Highway 100, Silver Spring in Milwaukee. This is my first time here. I'm excited to be here, especially tonight, to see this event that's coming on with Dirt, who was the opening song. The intro for this podcast, that was Slow Burn with Dirt. And then they're going to be followed up with Lords of the Trident, along with Memories Wither. Speaking about Memories Wither, I am here with, I can say with some confidence here, manager, is that an appropriate thing to title you with?
Yeah, that's definitely appropriate.
All right. Chuck Madsen, he's the manager working on with them tonight. We're also going to be talking about a little bit about him, Memories Wither, what's coming up with their band as well. But I just wanted to wish everyone a happy new year and let them know that tonight you can come here. The event starts at 8 p.m. at Rock Country, Milwaukee. It's off Highway 100, Lover's Lane, for some of those people who are familiar with that area, and Silver Spring. And it'll start at 8 p.m. There's a $5 cover. It's an incredible lineup with a very talented group of bands. I'm going to be here. I know there's going to be a couple other people that I'm familiar with that are going to be here. It should turn out to be one hell of a show. So with that being said, I'm going to start out by talking with you, Chuck, about Memories Wither. How does someone like yourself get involved with that?
Well, actually, I was approached by Brian of Memories Wither. He said that he was looking for somebody who had musical knowledge and knowledge of the business, and they were looking for somebody that could basically help them out with getting more shows and also help them out with some of the other avenues that they need to basically make themselves bigger.
And it looks like they've been doing that, as we've talked with you and I throughout the last year. Now, how did you get involved with getting to a point where someone would come to you for advice, experience, even involvement like Memories Wither? What did you do that preceded that? What experiences did you have?
Well, I did promote a lot of shows. I got a chance to work with some really talented people in the past, and and being that I did, they took notice of that. They took notice of some of the other shows and some of the people that I knew and some of the people that I had talked with, and some of my own shows and how well they did. And they basically figured, they thought it would be a good match. And I've known Brian and I've known Baron and the guys, for a good amount of time. So, it was just a union that really worked.
Huh. So it was one of those things, someone recommended you and just said, hey, this is this guy you got to know.
Well, Yes and no. I mean, it wasn't so much a recommendation. It's more of that they took notice.
Gotcha.
They knew some of the things I had done in the past.
Because you've been around. You've done some things in the local area, not just solely related to music.
Yeah, true. I've done stuff with movies. I've done stuff with bringing people in. I got to work with my friend, unfortunately passed away, Dave Curtis. He was previously the owner of Graveyard Records, and I got to work with him and talking with people and getting networking out there and getting my name out there with people. And then, you know, working with some of the great guys as far as pro wrestling with, like, you know, I've got to work with Dysfunction, who's a phenomenal guy. I worked with, you know, I've done some stuff with Dave Harrell, another phenomenal guy, you know, and I basically took a lot of what they taught me and kind of made it into my own thing.
Now, how long have you been doing this for?
As far as on the promoting end, I've been doing it as far as promoting in total, I want to say close to 10 years.
Mm-hmm. How was it at first? Was it a struggle or was it one of those things where you kind of had to just stay persistent with it, even though it ended up being sometimes not as ideal with the outcomes? Was that a fair assessment to say some of your earlier experiences?
Just know how we should backline. Should we set the drums up?
In the beginning, you know, like anything, it's always rough, but you know, as long as you talk to the veterans and talk to the people that have been around and have been doing it and are very successful at it, and you actually listen to them and, you know, you apply it, then, you know, you can add it, you know, eventually you build a big enough brand for yourself. And, you know, people recognize you and don't definitely, you know.
Yeah, it seems like that, you know, even with a little bit of experiences I ended up trying out last year with the various event that I coordinated, you could see that there were some people that were appreciative of some of the time and effort, sort of like the one tonight here at Rock Country. It seems like this has been a very, I hate to use the word meticulous, because that word can almost be overinterpreted, but I think someone was just considerate of the audience. I'd say it would be my first way to describe it, is they knew that people wanted to come to a show. They put the effort in as far as the time consideration, but they understood the simplicity of not going overboard, where I look at it from a case of where I may have overstepped myself and put like five, you know, six bands. And hopefully you do that with the intent to allure people to something different, and that always seems to be one of these common trends that come and intrigue people from just a standpoint of what's going on, is making it different. You were using an experience with Memories with her last show at the Crimson Club. You were mentioning this gentleman who came up there, who kind of like opened for them, and kind of you guys may have had a thought, and then he just totally, you know, dissolved that thought as far as what you guys had predetermined.
Yeah, it was the singer from Her Worst Nightmare. When I first met him, I was like, okay, you know, I didn't think much, you know, as far as, like, I had really not heard too much of him, but, I mean, he basically came out there, and he blew the place away, you know, I mean, he blew me away. I was really, really, you know, I was pretty excited when I heard him, you know, because I said, you know, I was like, being as young as he is and everything like that, I was like, you know, I was like, these guys definitely, you know, but they definitely have a sound, they definitely have a thing, and there's somebody I would want to work with in the future.
And that was going to be my next question, is with these bands that open that you may not have opened with or known about, let's just say, be honest, you may not have known as well about them, you get this impression, you get this experience, and you're like, holy shit, these people, like, they toppled your predetermined thought about what they were going to sound like. So when that happens, you sit there and say, we're going to get with these guys later down the line and try to get something set up so that maybe we can do something involved with them and maybe a whole different group. How do you approach something like that when it occurs? Do you sit there and say, this is something we should consider again, or do you kind of stick to the same safe game plan, so to speak?
Well, I never, you know, one of the things I definitely learned over the years, especially talking with people like that I've talked with and, you know, to many different businesses, is that you always want to take a risk. And you always want to take a risk on somebody new because, you know, especially somewhere down the line, they may become bigger and better, and they may even surpass you. But at the same time, they'll always remember you. So,
that's,
you know,
true.
You never know if, like,
you know
tomorrow they may get signed to a major record label, they may get a major tour, and all of a sudden they go, hey, you know what? I remember this show we played with the Memories with her, and one of the things that I always tell these guys to do too, especially when you're new, you're young, you're not experienced in the area, is don't be afraid to talk to the older guys that have been around. And these guys came up to us and they asked a lot of questions. They asked, you know, about the area, in this area, how did we think they sounded, you know.
See, and that's good to hear because I know, and I hate to go back to my own personal experiences because I was no guru by any means when I was giving it a try for the first time in a long time last year. And then, like you say, these kids who are new, who have kind of somewhat green and haven't gotten the ability to be out there on this big stage comparatively to where they were preceding it. And I think about bands like the Stallones who are, you know, just these bands that are ready to rip and go out and, you know, raise hell and, you know, give people a great show. But for whatever the reason, the rock gods haven't allowed the stars to line for them to be able to get this option. And now my question for that is, how much do you see that in your experiences, not only personal, but you've been with Memories with her for about how long?
About a year.
So with that also involved, how long have you seen kind of being deterrence with other places, venues, options you were considering? Do you see about a 50-50 experience with that, or do you see more people open and inviting towards this new, for instance, Crimson Cult, the last one. Mm-hmm. One wouldn't necessarily say Memories of Weather, Crimson Club, boo, boo, boo. That seems like a perfect fit.
Right.
But it happened. So it's on the books, in the annals of time. So how does something like that happen when at first blush it may not look, quote unquote, good on paper?
Well, it all goes back to taking a risk. A place like, for example, you mentioned Crimson Club, when you have a club that's mentioned, and it's kind of like already been labeled as, like, for example, like a DJ club, and then they want to go into music, they got to want to take the risk and figure, what draws for them, what doesn't. And, and they got to want to experience different types of music. You never want to be a one-trick pony because then you're labeled that way. And once you're labeled that way, it's very hard to get away from it.
Now, you've been here before at Rock Country in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
With Memories Weather, have you been here before prior to that?
No.
Okay, so just given, because that's still an experience worth exploring. Given your experiences, knowledge of the place, do you think this is a place that's conducive towards doing that?
Oh, absolutely. If I've looked at their website and I've looked at the different shows that Rock Country has.
See, I could see how someone might, just mistakenly say Rock Country is just like country music,
Right.
Something like that automatic quick assumption of a place, but it's actually not always, if not even any time that I've noticed any kind of country bands. It seems like it's more of the rock part. Is that a fair assessment? Because this is my first time here.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's a fair assessment. But I think too that I think the owner here, I think he's doing it the right way. He's trying out different things, different avenues. He's seen what works. He's seen what doesn't. But then, obviously, they definitely saw something in Memories with her because they, invited us to come back.
Now, speaking about this, now I got to ask because I'm interested in knowing, for this lineup right here, I got to ask you, Chuck, what do you think, who are you most looking, I know you're going to, it's going to be kind of biased because you're going to say Memories with her.
No, I'm not.
Who are you looking forward to tonight?
Realistically, just because they're so different.
Lords of Trident?
I'm looking for Lords of Trident.
It's weird because I'm like that too. I see them and I'm like, these guys are, they have like, if I had to mix it, like some kind of mutant Frankenstein, they got like a Tom Riddle type power vocal from Lithic and Mixtape. And then they got this Tenacious D type, approach,
right.
It's hard to, pinpoint them as somebody relatable. And that's a good thing because it's more like a conglomerate of a whole bunch of different styles and sounds, which, just looking at their videos and they seem like they're like an energetic, just we're going to do this, this is our style type of way. And I'm looking forward to seeing that part, because that in itself is like a treasure among fans and everything.
Well, it's always great when a band can have a gimmick and can make that gimmick work.
Stallone's again.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of bands in my time. I've seen a lot of people in other avenues who, you know, they have a gimmick and it just doesn't work. And then there's people who they have a gimmick and you go like, man, the gimmick is perfect. And all you think to yourself is they are literally one step away from that one person seeing them and signing them to that deal.
Especially in this day and age where the exposure avenue or the, you know, technological consideration for, you know, exposure is prevalent. You have all these different media availabilities for people who kind of in the past where you'd have to go somewhere that would, like, say, play your, you know, their Wisconsin rock, you know, stations and be out there vouching for you. Here it's kind of like you can do a SoundCloud, you can do a Reverb, you can do all these different sites that will let people listen to you. I know I think it was Acuda, I can't remember how to say their name. They're the ones from Portage, and they have some great sounds. I mean, like, they're from Portage, Wisconsin. Like, most people aren't going to resonate that with, like, a heavy, you know, base of bands coming from there. So that also struck me as where these people are coming from, because it's all areas. It's not just Milwaukee. It's not just Janesville and the Madison area. Even, what's that one where Hijack, Fort Atkinson.
Yeah. Sure. So, yeah, but that's where media, you know, social media too has really helped out with a lot in every aspect, because, you know, there's YouTube, there's SoundCloud, there's a lot of avenues. You know, bands have Facebook pages. You know, they can post a lot of their own stuff to their Facebook page, or, you know, Twitter. I mean, there's so many different avenues that people can take now to get themselves exposure, that, you know, they should take full advantage of those avenues.
Yeah, and I think the ones that do will see a return, so to speak, an investment, at least the ones I've seen, because even from a standpoint of being able to say, okay, this is the band from that video, or, you know, that, I mean, I remember I was talking with, I think her name is Audrey, forgive me if I pronounced your name wrong, from Bullet to the Heart in Chicago. Had she not shared a YouTube video for Bullet to the Heart, I would have not gotten the chance to meet these people, get them booked and whatnot, and they were worth it. They had this approach, you know, it's weird because these bands, you know, given the circumstances, they still find this ability to find it, to bring it, you know, and that's the part where I think the resiliency, despite the, you know, resistance of what happens, you know, the behind the scenes like you're familiar with, and that's why you're on the podcast, is to get a better view of that, where you get these bumps in the road, these little temporary, you know, setbacks or whatnot, however you call them, and just still stay resilient and still stay on track. And I remember, like, in, for instance, I think it was like a year ago, the one with Memories Wither at Lucky Chance, that was one of those nights where you're like, holy shit. This was a microcosm of potential galore, because I think that place was 90-something capacity. It was well over 90. I mean, that's an easy spitball, you know, two steps into the threshold of the building. You're like, something's, you know, nobody draw the ire of the fire department, you know, kind of thing, because.
Right.
But
exactly.
That's a great thing. That's what it's supposed to be all about. And, you know, I hope that that's the case today. It looks like it's projected to be well, and I just want to reiterate to everyone out there listening, we are live here at Rock Country Milwaukee. This is off Highway 100 and Silver Spring. Some people know it as Lover's Lane, right off 41 on the interstate. You can just get off and come right here. It's close to the neighbor right next door, Silk Exotic. For those who are familiar with that area, to make it easier for you, you guys are not going to want to miss this event tonight. It is going to be a tremendous lineup of talented bands. You have Slow Burn, who is making their first debut tonight in a little, I think, about 2 years from talking with Nick from the band. He was here earlier. They're kind of all setting up right now at the stage. But, yeah, it's going to be neat to see a debut of a band who's been kind of in, you know, waiting, hibernation for a while. The gentleman there, Ben, we had talked before the podcast started getting going about him. I had known him back.
Remove my name from your mouth, good sir.
Ha ha! There he is. Speak of the devil. I've been saying he knew him for about 10 years now, which is crazy. I knew him back when he was part of the Black Saints, back when Metal Girl was around. I remember BBC's, yeah, a lot of these places. Now, how do you think of that dynamic? What do you think of these places that are no more? Because I know Memories Withers got a show. Is it March at Walker's Point? Okay.
Yeah, March 16th.
Yeah, and I got the chance to see that the other week or so. It's a great place. It's got two setups for places to bands to play. So I think it's neat. Stage pretty much the same size comparatively for them to play. A little higher up, a little more spacious, I'd say, with less table room, which is obviously adjustable. But nonetheless, it's another great venue. Is that going to be their first place, their first time there?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it'll be the first time at Walker's Point. I mean, Walker's Point, it is a fairly new venue, and I'm very glad to see that Jim Rice took the took the risk that he did to put that together. Because,
yeah.
You know, especially, you know, if you've lived in the Milwaukee area or if you've been in the Milwaukee area or even outside the Milwaukee area, you know, I mean, we've lost a lot of great venues. I know Metal Grill closed down.
Now, what's going on with that one power plant? Is that a go or no go? Are they still trying to, do you know anything about? Because besides your experiences and your involvement, you have like the in. You're like the in guy. You know what's going on before anybody else does.
Yeah, well, that's because I know like when Metal Grill closed down the first, it wasn't even 24 hours later, and I felt so bad for the owners, you know, and because even I had a show booked there for September of that year, and you know, ended up having to cancel. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, I know
that's a rough one. That's the one thing as I was going to ask too, of management, you know, with these experiences with having to promote shows
mm-hmm.
and to book bands and such like that. It's easy to book bands and put a lineup together and say yes, I can't wait. But when you have to make that sole decision kind of to say, hey, you know, this may not be for us. We talk about, you know, our war stories from last year with the experiences of certain places where it didn't really end up as remotely desirable as, or tolerable, let me put it that way,
right.
Acceptable, whatever word you want to use,
sure.
Synonymous with that. But how do you know when you have to kind of nix a show, or do you ever have that experience yet where you sit there and say, nah, this is not even worth considering?
You know, it's realistically, there's been no show that since I've been with Memories Wither where we've had to nix the show because, you know, the venue was undesirable or anything like that. And as far as like my personal experience, yeah, there's been a couple of shows where I've been forced to cancel them. You know, the show that I had been with the Metal Grill, you know, Metal Grill closed down in like June of that year, and I had the show in September. And you know, I even talked directly with them. You know, I said it kind of put me in a, you know, kind of a salty situation because that was my personal show, and
was that the circus one you were? Yeah.
Yes.
That was $25 or something like that because I remember.
Right. Right. It was an all-day event.
And see, that's the thing because I remember that. That was like I think my first real impression of you is you conjured this concept of an all-day event, which I commend because it's unique. And then even the $25 was like, I don't give a fuck if this is one of those things where I get to see this person do that, this person there, and there's this constant stimuli going on. I'm like,
correct.
Yeah, I'm going to get my money's worth. And I was really looking forward to that one.
I was too. The lineup was just so, so well done. It was a powerful lineup. I mean, it was to the point of where when I put it out there, you know, people were just shaking their heads and they were just going, you know, versus me having to hunt people down, I more have people coming to me and going like, look, man, you know, how do I get on this?
Yeah, right.
And that's when I knew I had a good product is when versus me having to chase somebody down and go, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? It was more of the other way where I had people come to me going, hey, can I get on this somehow? And yeah, you know, let's give you a chance, because, you know, you always want to give, again, you always want to give, you know, more people a chance, because.
And I like that. I like that, because those were the things that I got to experience when doing a little bit of the booking and promoting, is I got to see these people who weren't established, even one could argue semi-established, and they were just sitting there chomping at the bits, wanting to get this opportunity. And I think places that foster that, and I'm not sure because I don't know the track record of this place, but I'm just saying, like, places that necessarily do that are I don't know, they're commendable. They're you know, appreciated, because in this area, it's like so much work invested with almost little, no return, and that despite what is there that day and the potential of always something being there. But yeah.
Well, that was definitely one of my fears, because I know when the Metal Grill closed down, I was hit up a lot by people saying, like, you know, hey, you know, you should invest in this. We, you know, you should be running this place. And I turned it down, because I said, look, I said, first off, I said, you know, when you get into a place like this, you almost have no life to begin with, because you're constantly sticking yourself into it to build a name for yourself.
And that's a tough thing to do, because it takes a lot of effort and dedication,
right?
Personal manpower, whatever, woman power, whatever, you know.
Yeah, because I dealt with that with Frank's too. When Frank's closed down, you know, there's a couple people asked, hey, you know, are you going to buy Frank's? No, I'm not going to buy Frank's.
Yeah, see.
I'm not going to.
Isn't there, like, I think last I heard there were 7 bidders or something for
yes.
Metal Grill or something crazy.
Yeah,
like that.
I know the Metal Grill was purchased, and I know it's going to be turned into another venue with a mini arcade. As far as beyond that, I really don't know.
I have no idea what it is with Milwaukee and their arcade fascination now. Yet it's like it's crazy. It's everywhere now. You see people. Let's do an arcade. Let's do games. Let's, you know, everything else.
Well, you know,
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it seems to be part of what is necessary for a startup almost.
Right, but you know, the other thing too is that you also almost want to be careful too, because if you have too much of the same product and the scene gets saturated, and I think that's also plays in hand with why some of the venues close, because. You know, if there's 6 different shows in 6 different places, and you guys are, you know, and everybody's like a mile to 2 miles away from each other.
They can just say, I'll just see it the next time.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, or I'll stop at this one. Maybe I'll go to the next one. And
see,
you know,
and that whole phenomenon is exactly what I think happened last year when I gave it a shot and I did my thing. And that's part of what is weird when you see that is people don't you think there'd be different, you know, because it wasn't the same lineups. It's not the same thing. So,
right.
Yeah. But I just want to let everyone know here, I'm Brett. This is the Birdman Podcast. I'm here with Chuck Madsen. He manages one of the bands tonight here at Rock Country Milwaukee. We'll be playing at 8 p.m., and that band is Memories Wither, along with Slowburn, who you heard at the beginning of the podcast with their song Dirt. They'll be performing. And then tonight, you'll also see another band, Lords of the Trident, which will be the band, the music that you'll be hearing as we leave tonight. I just want to thank you, Chuck, for your time. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to a great event tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, when
you
must have put his when you send it to cool down, you gotta make yourself more.